present us with St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And we heard this morning about the Jews who, for St. Paul, have a zeal for God, but the zeal is not enlightened. This zeal is misdirected. So we will have to look at this zeal. And also, St. Paul says some incredible things in this morning's reading. He speaks about Christ as the end of the law. Let's first look at unenlightened, uninformed, misguided zeal. Why does St. Paul say that his people, the people of Israel, have an uninformed, an unenlightened, misguided zeal? What does he refer to?
Zeal for the law?
Law. If you hadn't said that, I would say it's a three-letter word that begins with L and ends in W. The misguided zeal, the unenlightened zeal, has to deal with the law, has to do with the law. What about the law? Before we get into this misguided, misunderstood zeal, what does St. Paul say about the law, particularly in the letter to the Romans? What characteristics? There are these three characteristics that he gives to the law. The law is good, the law is spiritual, the law is holy. So what is the problem with the law and Israel?
It's not the end all be all.
It is.
It's not the end all be all.
It's not the end all be all. Who is the end all be all? Christ. Christ Jesus is the end all be all. He is the beginning and the end. Now, if the law is good, spiritual, and holy, what is the problem that it presents? Or what is the problem that St. Paul is attempting to unpack in this extremely important letter to the Romans? And as I mentioned before, and as some of you know, this is the last of the authentic letters attributed to St. Paul. So we have in this letter some of the most mature thinking of the apostle. So what is it that presents a problem with the law, if it is good, if it is spiritual, and if it is holy?
It doesn't bring salvation.
It doesn't bring salvation. And what else? It becomes an end in itself, and it can replace love for God and for the neighbor. These two are correct. It doesn't bring salvation, and it draws man away from God. But St. Paul zeroes in on something that is often, I would dare to say, forgotten about, if we don't call this letter very carefully. If we look at the Old Testament, particularly the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. So you can go home, and before you do anything else, pick up your Bible, open to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 30, the authors say that to keep the law is easy. What does St. Paul say about this? And keep in mind that St. Paul's response, basically, to Deuteronomy, to the law in general, is quite controversial, quite bold, quite dare. St. Paul says that to keep the law is not easy. It is not easy. Why isn't it easy? This is the crux of the matter regarding the law. Why isn't it easy to keep the law? And we hear even some autobiographical notations from St. Paul in this letter regarding the keeping of the law. When one attempts to keep the law, What accompanies this attempt?
Pride.
A three-letter word beginning with S and ending with N. Sin. Sin accompanies keeping the law. Sin accompanies the one who attempts to keep the law. And though the law is good, the law is spiritual, the law is holy, the law is also infected by sin. Sin and its power presents the problem relative to the law, because in trying to keep the law, he, St. Paul, and all the others commit sin. I did not know, he says, about covetousness until I heard the law, until I was mature enough to begin handling the law. And St. Paul goes on in chapter 7 of the Epistle to Romans. He speaks about the law of sin that is in his members. And because of this law of sin, because of the power of sin, which even infects and distorts the law, what is the result? What does St. Paul say? Does anyone remember? I do what I hate, and I don't do what I love. This is the power of sin. This is the power of sin relative to the law. Now, we have to ask the question, what is the purpose of the law? And here is where we can begin to have some understanding of this unenlightened, misguided zeal. What is the purpose of the law?
Well, part of it is to define the Jews from others.
To define the Jews as apart from others. And what, let's zero in on this definition. What singles them out? It's more than a three-letter word, so we want to make it. Righteousness. The purpose of the law is righteousness. And we hear about this in the Old Testament, but again, St. Paul is countering this understanding, this approach. He even states earlier on in this letter, quoting from the Psalter, no one is righteous, not even one. And then he goes on, as we know in the letter, to say that there's only one righteous one. And who is that righteous one? Christ is that righteous one. And he is the one. He is the one through whom, in the Spirit, that we have righteousness, that we have this gift of righteousness, which puts us in the right relationship with God through the righteousness who is Christ. In the Spirit, we are reconciled to God. This is something St. Paul is saying the law cannot accomplish. And therefore, Jesus is the end of the law. Now again, we looked at this word in the past, let's look at it again. The word end, the word telos, Greek is a very pregnant term. It means end, fulfillment, perfection, goal, purpose. We can apply all these definitions to tales. Indeed, the purpose of the law is Christ. The end of the law is Christ. The goal of the law is Christ. The fulfillment of the law is Christ. The perfection of the law is Jesus Christ. So, it is Christ who becomes, we can say, even though it's not said in Romans, we can say, based on what we can glean from Romans, that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the new Torah. He is indeed the end of the law of Moses. And he is the end of the law of Moses because he is the only righteous one. And he is the only righteous one because only Christ, only Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one of God, can apply. by the law, can live by the law, can offer the law without falling into sin. He is the only one who can accomplish that. No one else can accomplish that. And as the one who can apply and utilize the law without falling into sin, he becomes its fulfillment, its perfection, and its end. The law of Moses cannot, according to St. Paul, here again he's using very old language, the law of Moses cannot render one righteous. The law of Moses cannot cover us with the gift of righteousness, with the gift of reconciliation with God. Only one person can do that. Who is that person? The Lord Jesus is the Christ. So in reading this letter to the Romans, in wrestling with this letter to the Romans, we indeed come upon some extraordinarily wonderful and difficult things. We see Paul himself, we see St. Paul himself wrestling with the reality of the law, the centrality of the law amongst Israel. And yet, as a Jew, as an Israelite, he recognizes the impoverishment of the law, the weakness of the law, in spite of it being good, spiritual, and holy, precisely because of the reality of sin. Jesus, the only sinless one, reveals himself as the one who, through his death, burial, and resurrection, raises us up to the living God. It is only Jesus who can do that. The law is incapable of doing that. And if we dare say that the law can do that, then what is St. Paul's response, especially in his letter to the Galatians? What does he say? If the law can save, then Jesus Christ died in vain. If the law can save, then the whole economy, the whole carrier of the creation by God, revealed, supremely revealed in the incarnation of his Son, is for nothing. Jesus has come, and he is the one who puts an end to the law of Moses by showing its perfection in himself. Jesus is the one who shows that it is only in him, in his life, through baptism, which we've spoken about in the past, through this participation in the death and resurrection of Christ, that we receive a new law. And we can speak of this new law as Christ, as the new Torah. And we can also speak of this law as St. Paul describes it in chapter 8 of this letter. Does anyone know how he describes it? The law of the Spirit. In Christ we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit that draws us ever more deeply into the life of the triune and triversal God. So brothers and sisters, no one does simply review what St. Paul says from the Psalter. No one is righteous, but the only righteous one who is Christ clothes us with himself. The only righteous one who is Jesus Christ gives us the Spirit, gives us the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit who unites us now and forever to the Father and the Son. Amen.